Sister Maria Casey, you're the postulator for the cause of canonization of Mary MacKillop, Mother Mary MacKillop, co-founder of the Sisters of St. Joseph of the Sacred Heart. Now, Mother Mary MacKillop, who once denounced clerical sexual abuse, is now being dubbed in the media as patron saint of whistleblowers at a time when the Catholic Church has been battered by criticism over the way it dealt or failed to deal with the recent clerical sexual abuse crisis. By doing this, isn't there the risk of reducing her reputation to this particular area?
Well, first of all, to set the record straight, she herself did not denounce the priest. She was away in Queensland, 2,000 miles away, when the events were reported. It were her sisters who lived in the local convent in this place that reported the abuse to Father Woods, and in turn he'd reported it to the Vicar General. The Bishop of the day was here in Rome for the First Vatican Council, and so the Vicar General took action, as he was expected to do. He removed the priest immediately from the parish, and having consulted, sent him back to Ireland. So his best friend then was very, very angry with the events that unfolded, and he pledged, because he already had a problem with Father Woods, that he would destroy Father Woods and would also destroy the Josephite sisters. So indirectly it was a factor in the excommunication, but indirectly, because misinformation about other matters were then fed to the bishop to help him come to the decision to excommunicate Mary. So it was a very, very complex issue about the excommunication. It was a factor, but not a direct factor. Now, as to whether or not it is reductive, I agree it is reductive. Mary stood and for the dignity of all people, regardless of their creed, their colour, or what else.
Which was unusual at the time.
It was very unusual.
We're talking the end of the 19th century.
Exactly. And she had this great respect for people, regardless of who they were. She would not have condoned oppression or violation of anyone's dignity, whether by sex abuse or whether by diminishment in terms of employment, in terms of racial discrimination or anywhere else. So from that point of view, I think saying that she's the patron of whistleblowers or those that are abused does not encompass the person that Mary was. I'm not saying that she wouldn't care about those. She would have been vitally interested and was, and suffered enormous pain for anyone who suffered abuse of any kind. So she would have been feeling their pain, and she would have felt their loss of dignity and their loss of appreciation in the society. So she would have been very, very in tune with their hurt and their needs. But she is broader than that. So that while that is part of who she was, she would be better to be the patroness, and I'm not sure how you would phrase it, of the dignity of all people.
Not just women.
Not just women. She was very concerned for the dignity of men and women and children, and especially children, because she felt that if children had the opportunity to be educated, they would grow up and they would have a chance of a better life. One of the Australian authors, a non-Catholic and an avowed atheist, said that Mary gave the ticket of leave to these children. In other words, she freed them from the slavery of not being anybody, like the convicts were, and from being the convict or from being oppressed. They then had this ticket of leave, which gave them the freedom to live in society and better themselves.
You talk about the convicts. Not all our listeners know about the convicts in Australia.
Yes, many of the early Australians were convicts, and as I often say, chosen by the best judges in England to be sent to the colonies to help to populate the colonies, and often for minor misdemeanours. For instance, there are men there and women there whose big crime was that they stole a loaf of bread to feed their families. It was often the result of abject poverty, or they stole a sheep, or something else that was not, in today's society, very significant, certainly not deserving of banishment, sometimes for 7 years, sometimes for life. So from these convict origins, Australia grew. in later years, the free people came, free population came to live in Australia. But the early people were mostly convicts. And when they had served their sentence, they got what they called their ticket of leave.
She lived at a time when there was a huge problem with the Aborigines as well, no? Mm. And she was very helpful to them.
She was helpful to the Aborigines that were around and close to her uncle's property. And she, in her spare time, taught them to read and write. And a few years ago, I was at a function and their descendants were all at it. And very, very proud of the connection with Mary. Her brother, who was a Jesuit priest, taught and worked and lived in the place called Daly River at the north of northwest Australia. And it was Mary's intention that sisters would go to that mission outpost to help him establish a school and to help him care and assist these Aboriginal people to achieve their own dignity. Something happened on each of the occasions that she had planned to go, and finally everything was organised and a monsoon came and washed everything away. The whole mission was destroyed. So that was the last time she was able to make the decision to go there. So it wasn't until the early 1960s that the Sisters of St. Joseph, whom she founded, were able to go to the Aboriginal missions. So it was a long dream of Mary's that was fulfilled in that part of Australia. The Sisters had worked with the Aboriginal people in New South Wales, Queensland and South Australia for many, many years. So right from the beginning, there was great involvement with the Aboriginal people.
So she was a woman for all people, wasn't she?
She was.
Her legacy today is not just for Catholics.
No, and it never was, really, because even in the early days when she set up the schools in the isolated parishes, or there weren't even parishes, there were isolated villages, not even that either. She never discriminated against children, regardless of their religion. So many of the early schools had non-Catholic children as well, which was most unusual.
Jewish children or...
Jewish children, Presbyterian. I'm not so sure about how many Jewish, because there were very few Jews in those country areas in her time. But one of her best supporters, and after she was excommunicated, the person who gave her shelter for some time and then provided shelter for some of the other women was a Jew, Mr. Solomon, who had been a convict and had finished his term, had gone to South Australia from New South Wales and became a Member of Parliament. He was a wonderful man to Mary.
So in a sense it's redundant to ask what her legacy is today. I mean, she was a very modern character for her time.
She was, and the Sisters today, we now feel that education is being well catered for throughout Australia and New Zealand. So we work still with the people who have a loss of dignity, the boat people, the people who are illegal migrants, the people who come in as refugees, the Aboriginal people we still have a very big commitment to, women who are being trafficked, men who are being trafficked, the unemployed, those that need comfort in some way or another. So a lot of the Sisters work in pastoral work, just visiting the people, being with them in times of sorrow. So Mary's legacy lives on. We also have Sisters in Brazil and Peru, and now also in Scotland and Ireland. Sisters working in East Timor, where the poverty is extreme, and they were forbidden to speak their own language, so the Sisters have translated there and learnt their language and have printed for them, the first time ever, their own books in their own language.
So you have new vocations then?
We have some new vocations, but our biggest development is the number of lay people who are living by the Spirit and the charism of Mary MacKillop. And we have many, many lay people who then will work with the Sisters closely, but remain as lay people. Well, the Sisters are lay people too, but lay people with vows living in community. These lay people sometimes will work for a number of years with the Sisters in a very close cooperation. Sometimes they will work from their own homes and from their own families, supporting the Sisters in their mission and their ministry. So we have many, many of those. So it's, as it were, the laity coming into their own in this century. The great gifts that the lay people have to offer to the church and to the world, and that it is no longer the place just of religious, if I could dare say it, to do good works, because every human being is capable of doing good works.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.